I'll take it in, but don't look down.
'Cause I'm on top of the world, hey. I'm on top.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to JJ's Football Fix the Everything EPL podcast. My name is Jordan Gifkins. Alongside me is the flabbergast, Jake White. Yeah, I'm good. I don't know why I call you flabbergast, but I did. Episode number 24, 24 weeks into the season, hence why it's episode 24. Jake, so big scenes here and there, you know how it is. Stock standard show today, probably not going to be as long as the others because we are doing a transfer sort of podcast, I guess, what it's called, soon.
Okay.
Whether that's tomorrow, whether that's Thursday, whether that's Friday, irregardless, it's coming. And so we're not going to cover any transfers this week, or this episode, sorry. But yeah, we can say it's going to be a great episode, and the transfers are big. We have no idea, like literally no idea. But we did not do a podcast last week on the EPL, Jake, as everyone knows, including ourselves. So it's always good to be talking about the Premier League once again after a couple of A-League episodes in a row. And a little bit to discuss, I guess. We have to go back and look at all the games from
back in time,
yeah, that we haven't had a look at. But we will kick things off here, Jake, with last weekend. Sorry, 2 weekends ago, actually, now, isn't it? Liverpool 2, Swansea 3. Yeah. we, Fernando Llorente. I don't know if that's a chant, but if it isn't, Swansea fans, I just made a chant for you. Llorente, what a man. He scored twice, 48th and 53rd minute, to give Swansea a very surprising 2-0 lead at the start of the second half. Roberto Firmino then went bang-bangs, 55th and 69th minute, bringing it back to 2-2 before the Gilf dog, Sigurdsson, decided he wanted to join in.
The Gilf dog.
In the 74th minute, and he scored, and Swansea held on, Jake. Crazy scenes at Anfield. Liverpool dominated possession, as they normally do. They had more shots as well. But Swansea, they were just resilient. And for a team that was, at the time, sitting relatively close to the bottom of the table, if not on the bottom of the table, it's quite an achievement. So, fair play to them, Jay. I didn't watch the game until I found out Swansea were 2-0 up. And I was going bonkers when Sigurdsson put in that that third one, but a fantastic result for Liverpool, Jake.
Yeah, well, obviously, I was pleased. I got home at about the 30th minute, so I didn't really miss much because nothing happened in the first half. Didn't expect that at all. Like, I was in the car on the way home from a party. And I was saying to everyone in the car that Liverpool were going to fucking tonk them at least like 5 or 6-0. Like, I gave Swansea no chance at all. And even when it was 2-0 up to Swansea, I thought Liverpool would come back, and they did. But then our mate, the Gilf dog, he puts it in the back of the net, and Swansea run away with the most important 3 points of their season, and Liverpool's entire season in all competitions has come crashing down within a week as well. So,
Gilfie.
Yeah. Can't say I expected it, but I'm happy for Swansea because I've said it a fair few times. I don't want them to get relegated. They're a good football club and they've currently found themselves outside the relegation zone too. So I'm happy for them at that sense. But they've got to keep going with it too. They can't just sit on this win and expect points to come. They need to keep on going. So good on them. And I'm happy to see Liverpool drop a few points as well, but they can't be complacent with it.
Yeah, like you said, Swansea now their job. It was one thing to get this win. It's another thing to kick on and do something with it, realistically. So we'll see what happens. West Bromwich Albion, they hosted Sunderland in what was always going to be a one-sided affair, and it turned out to be that way. West Brom winning 2-0 against Sunderland. Fletcher scoring in the 30th minute. Chris Brunt in the 36th minute. Two class goals, in fairness. As far as I remember, but yeah, West Brom. They're a really good team this season. They've in eighth position. They're keeping clean sheets left, right, and centre, and that's what you want to see, I guess. I assume anyway. I guess that's what they're going out to do and achieve. Sunderland, their loss slumps them back to the foot of the table, unfortunately for them. But a couple signings here and there, Jake, which we will talk about in the next podcast, might lift them up out of the relegation zone. We'll see. They are all class players. But yeah, a much needed win for West Brom, who continue their really good season so far, Jake.
Yeah, they've been good this season. I watched the highlights in this game, as far as I remember everything that I saw, because it was about 2 weeks ago. They deserve the 3 points. Sunderland, I think they're not going to get relegated. They're sitting 20th at the moment, but they're probably going to do what they do every single season and manage to beat teams like City, Chelsea, Arsenal, United in the last 4 weeks to survive relegation or something like that. But West Brom definitely deserve 3 points, and they're keeping pressure on Everton in seventh place, which is good for them because I didn't expect that from them this season either. So if they're playing well, if they keep going, they could definitely make a push for that seventh spot.
Let's hope not. Next game we'll cover. Stoke City 1, Manchester United 1. Fantastic result here for Stoke at home. Mata opened the scoring for Stoke City, of all teams to score for. An own goal deflected into the back of the net. Unfortunate. Wayne Rooney then, in the 90th minute, scored his 150th, or 250th, I don't even know what goal it was. I think it was 250th goal for Manchester United to break the club record goal scoring, all-time leading scorer, so I don't know. He scored the most goals in Manchester United history. With a very Rooney-esque free kick, it must be said. United probably deserved this this victory, but they couldn't get it, and it took them until the fourth minute of added time to get the point. So, I don't know. United's been a bit iffy this season for me, Jake. They've been sort of a team that's always seems to dominate teams, but they just struggle to capitalise on their dominance, and it's happened a few times. We've seen against Burnley, we've seen now against Stoke, from recent memory we've also seen it against maybe Liverpool as well, so it's been a bit iffy for them, and you know they've wanted to try to keep tabs on the top four and push for that Champions League position, but results like this certainly don't help their cause. Fortunately for them, a few teams above them are dropping points as well. But yeah, they want to look to bounce back this week, and they should. But again, you never know. It's another one of those danger games for United. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, it surprised me as well because I expected United, because they've got a lot of momentum right now. Like, realistically, I think they're unbeaten in like 20 of their last 21 matches or something like that, which is pretty ridiculous. So they've got to keep that going. Like, that's not in Premier League, that's all competitions, I'm pretty sure, anyway. But they've got to keep it going with that if they want to pressure the top four. And then, like, Stoke aren't a horrible team, but they should be beating Stoke, really. But yeah, congratulations to Rooney, too. Even though he left Everton and he did some things at Goodison Park once he left Everton that he probably shouldn't have, I'm happy for him that he's done well at United, and he's the best English player that I've seen in my lifetime, at least. So I'm happy for him to be doing what he's doing and done what he's done at United. Hopefully he will come back to Everton one day soon and bang in a few goals for a few seasons with us. It was a fantastic goal as well. You put it on the page as well. It was a very good free kick. So good on him and good on Stoke for getting a point.
Middlesbrough hosted West Ham United in what was always going to be a tough game for Middlesbrough, considering West Ham are somewhat finding a little bit of form in the league at the moment. Andy Carroll opened the scoring in the 9th minute before Christian Stuani equalised in the 27th minute. Great player, Stuani. Andy Carroll then scored again in the 44th minute before Jonathan Caleri, of all players, popped up in the 90th minute and scored a deflected goal. I believe his first goal for West Ham. He's been a little bit of a drop, a bit of an iffy signing for West Ham this season, to say the least. But yeah, I guess that's what you get when you sign players from the Brazilian league who are untested in Europe. In his defence, he's played 7 games and scored 1 goal, so I guess he's not the worst, but he's been pretty bad so far. So yeah, West Ham though. They've another team like United, in my opinion, who are very iffy in regards to that. They do actually dominate a lot of the lowerish teams in the league, but they still struggle to get the results against them. And it's good to see them get a good commanding victory against Middlesbrough, who, to their credit, they did play not too bad. But I think it was always going to be tough for them against West Ham. Andy Carroll, Jake, has been in a little bit of good form of late. He's able to kick on from that bicycle kick he scored a couple of weeks ago now. He scored 2 in this game.
Remember the start of the season, Jordan?
Hey?
Remember at the start of the season we did our predictions and I had him as me golden boot?
Did you?
Yeah. He's going to kick on. He's going to do it.
How's he going at the moment? He's scored 5, so he's a little bit off the pace, but we'll see.
He's currently sitting equal 27th, Jordan.
Hey, you never know. You never know.
Accompanied by world beaters like James MacArthur, Joe Allen.
Joe Allen. In my mid-season team of the season.
Etienne Capoue. I don't really want them to do well because it's been well documented that I'd rather they do bad than well, because it was pretty funny watching them struggle at the start of the season, but it just proves that there's not one individual player that is bigger than a football club. Payet, obviously, was their best player. But ever since they stopped playing Payet, he came off the bench for one of them, but I'm pretty sure he hadn't started in 6 of their last 7 Premier League games or something like that. They've won 5 of their last 7, so they're in some good form at the moment, West Ham. Which was much needed, considering they were sort of around where Palace were about 2 months ago. So they've done pretty well. They're sitting up in 10th now. They're definitely clear of any relegation sort of threat because they're sort of chasing down West Brom. Now they're only 4 points away from West Brom. So they're looking good. If they can keep that going, then I'm sure they'll finish in 8th spot because I think the top of the best 8 teams in the league this season are the top 7 right now plus West Ham. It'll be interesting to see if they do spend that Payet money for the remaining, 24 hours or so that it is for the transfer window. Because I think they've been doing well without him, but I think they do need to replace him. And, they have done well with some signings. They've signed Font, which I think Font is a very good centre-back. And they signed Snodgrass, which I think is a very good signing as well. So they've done well on that front, but I think they may need to replace Payet if they want to have a genuine threat at top 7.
You mentioned they've won 5 of their last 7. Well, they're tooting their horn too much. Those 5 wins only came against Burnley at home, Hull at home, Swansea away, Crystal Palace at home, and Middlesbrough away. So in that time, the 2 losses came against Leicester away and United at home. I wouldn't say they'd be expected to win either of those games. Potentially could have got a point at Leicester. But in saying that, Jake, they've been knocked out of the FA Cup, which we will talk about, or we won't talk about. And there's not much going for them at the moment. So it begs the question, will they start playing a bit of youth, potentially? I mean, looks like they're safe from relegation. They're currently 12 points above the drop. I mean, it's not completely safe, but you'd think they will probably avoid it. They've got a few spots now in the team open. Payet's obviously out of West Ham. They could start playing a few younger players, Jake. If I was them, I would, because they've got a few young players that are not half bad. Reece Oxford comes to mind. Fletcher, another good youngster. I think it's a good time to start giving them a bit of game time and hope that they can get back to Europe. Hey?
See what they can do for them.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Obviously, it's their decision, but I mean, just there's my 2 cents, West Ham, if you're ever keen to listen to me. moving on, Crystal Palace hosted Everton. Massive game for both sides. Crystal Palace wanted to get out of that relegation scrap. Everton wanted to kick on and continue their good form that they've somewhat turned around this season with a few wins on the trot here. Everton dominated. There were a few chances for Crystal Palace early, one late, but Everton, for the most part, dominated the game. They had well and truly more shots, more possession. Stock standard, really, from Everton of late. And they earned their 1-0 win. Seamus Coleman popping up in the 87th minute to smack one from close range into the back of the net. Tom Davies providing the assist, who once again was instrumental in the win for Everton. Alongside the likes of Mason Holgate, Ross Barkley, they all played massive parts. It's always good to see the young generation at Everton play such a massive part in Everton victories. Just really bodes well for the future. Jay, Crystal Palace, they looked good early. I'm not going to sit here and deny that. Penteke hit the post, who seems to always score against us. Remy was looking sharp on his first start for the season for Palace. I think he's just come back from injury. He's just fully fit now. And they looked good, and they look good enough to potentially cause a few headaches to other teams in the league this season and in weeks coming up. And really, I reckon they're going to escape relegation. They honestly look quite impressive. Their defense wasn't as good as I was expecting, if I'm honest. I mean, the defense hasn't moved too much over the years. Delaney, Dan, and Tompkins marshalling their defense, but It was a pretty good performance from Palace, but Everton, again, just a class up from them, and duly deserve to continue their form and really kick on towards the European place this season.
Yeah, well, it was a good win, because those were the sort of games, like, we never win at Selhurst Park, for one. That was the first time that we've won at Selhurst Park. Actually, we won at Selhurst Park last season, but we never do well at Selhurst Park, and we never do well against Crystal Palace as well. We haven't beaten Crystal Palace at home since they've come back to the Premier League, and last season we beat them 1-0, I think, at Selhurst. So it was good to get another win there, or 2 seasons ago, actually. Still, we just Crystal Palace, just one of those teams that realistically we are better than them, but we just don't know how to finish them off, I guess. They basically completely shattered our hopes of Champions League about 3 seasons ago, which is draining. Don't think I've really forgiven them ever since then, but I sort of forgave them when they stopped Liverpool's title push. Yeah, it was a good game, I think. I think we played fantastic. The way we controlled the game was very good. We should have scored a few more goals than what we did, but at the same time, we got away with a fair bit. Joel was forced into a fantastic save late, and Benteke hit the post, as you said, as well. I think Palace will escape relegation because they have made a few signings since this game too. They've signed Van Aanholt from Sunderland, who I think is a class left-back, who can also provide that width down the left wing as well, who could overlap a player like Zaha, which would be a pretty good left-side combination for Palace. And there's, I forget the bloke's name, but they're signing some Serbian lad before the window's done too, who's a defensive midfielder.
Looking at Sacco from Liverpool as well.
So they definitely know that they need to make some signings to make sure they escape relegation, but I don't think they will get relegated. I think before this game, I thought they were, but after watching them actually play, I think they're a lot better than what people do think they are. But yeah, we deserve the 3 points, and I'm happy we got 3 points because those are the sort of games that we usually drop points on. So it's a good win for Everton, disappointing for Palace to lose late, but I think it was deserved.
I don't want to talk about too much about transfers, but a couple more signings that Crystal Palace are actually likely to make. Deals revolving around them. Luka Milivojevic from Olympiakos, the midfielder, is likely to sign for Palace on deadline day, which is today or tomorrow in England. Apparently, he's already packed his bags and he said his goodbyes to everyone at Olympiakos. So that could be a good signing for them. Martin Caceres from Juventus, I'm pretty sure he's out at the moment. Free agent at the moment, yeah. He's in talks with Palace, which would be another fantastic signing for them. One that could hinder them is Wilfried Zaha. he has been heavily linked for the deadline day move to Tottenham for £25 million. So that could be really bad for Crystal Palace.
He's been their best player.
Yeah, it could be bad. Yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, a couple of good signings could be on the way for Palace, but if they lose Zaha, then it might just be a case of one step forward, two steps backwards for them this season. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Bournemouth hosted Watford in this game on the Saturday. Watford scored first through Cabasele, before Josh King scored just after halftime for Bournemouth. Troy Deeney pulled one back for Watford to put it 2-1 to the good in the 64th minute before Benikophobe popped up in the 82nd minute and finished with aplomb, despite it being quite controversial. I think there might have been a slight head knock in the lead-up to that for a Watford player, but Bournemouth were too quick for the referee to pull the game back for him. I'm not too sure, actually, how that was all. Though I did see a man down. I'm not sure if it was a head knock. You know what I'm saying. Bournemouth, probably the better team here, had numerous chances in this game, had more possession as they normally do at home, more corners, etc. Statistically, a far better team. But Watford's early season form of grinding out decent results against teams that they shouldn't really be grinding out results against, coming into play here, despite Bournemouth being just two positions higher on the table, you'd consider them probably a top 10 team. And the way they've played, potentially even top 8 team on their basis of play this season. So it was a decent result for Watford, in my opinion. But in saying that, I think a draw was probably always going to be on the cards, in my opinion. I think we called the draw when we were previewing this game. Because I remember looking at the stats and thinking they'd drawn 5 of their previous 8 matches against each other, and now they've now drawn 6 of their previous 9. So, interesting times for them. Jake, Bournemouth, somewhat in a slump, I mean, you could say. Their early season form to mid-season form was decent, but you look at a couple of results of late. The 3-1 loss to Hull, now a 2-2 draw with Bournemouth to get knocked out by Millwall in the Cup. Just a sign of them slowing down a little bit, don't you think?
Yeah, well... They're both struggling. I think Bournemouth are a very good team. They've got very good players, very good manager as well. But I think they're about at their level ground right now. I don't think they're a top 10 team as such. But I think they're a lot better than fighting relegation. And Watford, they were very good about a month and a half ago up until they played against us. And it literally seems like ever since they played us and beat Everton, but they've struggled. So I don't know if that's an after effect of playing the best team in the world or not, but always take the piss. But yeah, well, looking at the results since they beat Everton on the 10th of December, they have lost, drawn, lost, won against Burton. So their one win in the last month and a half has been a 2-0 win against Burton Albion.
Standard. So
they're struggling, definitely, because after their win against Everton on the 10th of December, they were sitting on 8th in the Premier League, and now they're currently sitting 14th. So they've definitely dropped. But I guess that was always going to happen. I don't think they really had that great of a team. But I feel like that signing that you told me, I forget his name already.
Which one?
Some bloke at Watford side. Niang. I think that's a very good signing for them, and that will definitely help players like Troy Deeney out going forward. The front three of like someone like Niang, Deeney and Pereira. I think that's a very good front three for Watford, so something that they can definitely look forward to, but they need to get some wins on the board, because if they don't get a few wins on the board soon, they could find themselves in a little bit of this relegation battle. You never know, Jordan.
You don't, you do. Man City hosted Tottenham, massive match here. Tottenham in really good form leading up to this one. Man City, so-so, you could say. Leroy Sané opened the scoring for Manchester City before Kevin De Bruyne in the 54th minute. Gave City a 2-0 lead at the start of the second half. Dele Alli then scored in the 58th minute. He's in some form, isn't he, for Tottenham, before Heung-Min Son, our mate, in the 78th minute, popped up to make it 2-2. I think City will be kicking themselves though, Jake. They had 15 shots on goal to 4 and had more possession. And Kevin De Bruyne, as far as I remember, missed an absolute sitter. So I think City will be kicking themselves. Massive result it would have been if City got the chocolates over Tottenham here. It would have closed the gap between the two sides to 1 point. Actually, no, I think it would have put on level, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, they would have been on level points. And that would have pushed Man City, would have stayed actually in the same position, but yeah, I would have stayed the same, the table wouldn't have changed, but there would have been three teams on 45 points in third, fourth and fifth, which would have been very interesting. But yeah, I think Tottenham, I actually had them to win. I think they were going to go there and win. Their form was amazing, but they didn't look like a team that was sitting as high as second in the league, or third in the league, sorry, which was a bit weird. Hugo Lloris could have done more about both goals, let's be honest. he was very average in this game. I'm not sure why. He's normally quite reliable, but I think it was just an off day for him. But
all keepers have those days, Sean.
Yeah, they do. I have them every week. But yeah, massive result for Tottenham in the end, considering the basis of play. A player would have definitely taken a point from that game, and that's how it ended.
Yeah, I think the game deserved a draw. It's interesting, after the game, Yaya Touré coming out and saying that Sterling should have dived late in the game to get a penalty, because obviously we're both very much so against diving as such, but at the same time, if something like that, it wouldn't have been, even if he had a foul, it wouldn't have even really been a dive as such, because like there was contact. I think it's a penalty in a million years. It's just because Sterling tried to keep his feet, which is credit to him, but it's because Sterling tried to keep his feet that Man City walk away with a point instead of three. But it was an interesting game from Lloris, because I rate him as the best keeper in the league. So it's weird for him. Well, best keeper in the league at the moment. I still think De Gea is probably overall the best keeper in the league, but Lloris is a class goalkeeper, so I didn't expect those two errors from him, but I'm sure he will learn from those mistakes, because as we said in the A-League podcast yesterday, apart from maybe Neuer, but I'm sure Neuer's made a mistake before as well, there's every goalkeeper in the world at least makes a few mistakes in their career, so which is an off day for Lloris, but I'm sure he will learn from it and come back better, and it was a good point for Tottenham in the end.
Well, yeah, definitely. The next game we're going to cover here, Jake, is Southampton, and they hosted Leicester City in the game which lost me my multi. Haha. Southampton took the lead in the 26th minute through James Ward-Prowse's fantastic goal before James Rodriguez, Jay Rodriguez, scored the 39th minute for Southampton to give him a 2-0 lead. Dusan Tadic then put a penalty late on to make it 3-0. I was spewing because my multi involved both teams to score, unless they could not score. So, yeah, Southampton duly deserved the win, dominated start to finish. Another team that's sort of been a bit inconsistent this season. Certainly capable of the fantastic result, but also capable of doing some pretty stupid shit. But they move up into 11th position, Leicester. Down in 15th, and just 5 points clear of relegation, Jake. So, watch this space with them. It's been a pretty average season, and they'll be hoping they can bounce back. But imagine, and we've said it every week, if the champions of England get relegated, just imagine.
Imagine if they go on to win the Champions League and they play the Champions League next season from the Championship.
It'd be interesting for players, I think, whether they want to stay around the club or not.
No, I don't think they're going to get relegated. I don't think they're going to win the Champions League either. But I watched this game, and this is Southampton's best performance from the season. From what I've watched of Southampton anyway, this is by far the best performance of the season. It was just a clinic. They should have won by more. Which Leicester, I'm sure, are pretty happy that they didn't win by more, because if Southampton had have I think that is one thing Southampton are missing, just that clinical striker that can dispatch about 15 or so goals a season. Like, if they had Graciano Pello in this game, they would have won, like, 6-0. So, it's disappointing for them as such, but Jay Rodriguez is still a very good player as well. Been hampered with injury over the last few seasons, but I think they're getting in Gabby Adini, as you said to me before the podcast, so that'd be a very good signing for them because
17 mil.
Yeah, so he could be a player that could offer them 10 or so goals, not for the rest of the season. Like, it probably could potentially give him, like, 5 or so before the end of the season, which just would be a good output for him.
It's interesting, though, in that respect, because Jay Rodriguez has been linked to West Brom for 10 mil. So if Rodriguez goes out and Gabby Adini goes in, I don't really think they're going up in class at all, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, it depends. Like, literally no one knows what Gabby Adini is going to offer. He could come here and absolutely kill it, or he could come here and be an absolute flop. Like, literally no one knows. The Italian league is so much different to the Premier League, and sometimes for players, it can be a fantastic move, and they could come out of nowhere and be terrific. But there's also sometimes that players do come from the Serie A or the French league and come to the Premier League, and they're fucking the worst footballers you'll ever see in your life. So, you just never know. I'm sort of glad that Everton didn't really take the gamble on Gabby Adini, because that's the same thing. Like, I don't rate January signings all that highly, like, unless they're Premier League proven as such, or like English League sort of proven, because literally no one knows. And then you're coming into the season halfway through the season, you can't really get a pre-season knowing tactics and stuff, so it's going to be difficult for Gabby Adini if he does go to Southampton, but hopefully for his sake, it turns out to be a good signing for them, because they definitely do need someone that can be reliable up front.
Yeah, it's always hard for any player coming into January, I guess. So, be interested to see if he can slot into that team before the end of the season. Jake, Shrokdon Mustafi opened the scoring in Arsenal's 2-1 victory against Burnley before Granit Xhaka famously got sent off, as he tends to do, realistically, far too often. Andre Gray in the 93rd minute, and you're just thinking that it's going to be a draw in this one. He converted a penalty. But, controversially, Arsenal awarded a penalty in the 98th minute, and Alexis Sanchez scored from the spot, and Arsenal continue up the table as they move on into second place. I didn't see the penalties, I'll be honest. I actually didn't even watch the highlights of this game, Jake. So I'm sure you can probably fill me in on what happened there. But Arsenal, they completed the great escape. I think if they hadn't got the win here, I would have ruled them out of any chance of winning the league. But alas, they sit 8 points shy of Chelsea, and anything can happen before now and the end of the season.
Yeah, well, you'd never know, because they do play Chelsea this weekend too, so it's a very big week for Premier League football, because Chelsea do have Liverpool this week as well. So you never know what could happen. Like, Liverpool could beat Chelsea this week and Arsenal get a win, and then Arsenal's going into the game against Chelsea, what, like 5 points behind them or something like that. So you never know. I don't think the season's completely over. Arsenal's still a genuine chance. They're still a very good team. But the thing that's going to play into Chelsea's hands there is the fact that Chelsea don't have European football commitments. So,
absolutely.
It's a massive thing for them. I think Arsenal are a very good team. They deserve 3 points here, although it was a sort of controversial penalty in the 98th minute. At the end of the day, it was a penalty in a way, I think. Like, it was, but it wasn't. Like, if it wasn't given for Everton, I'd be pissed off. But if it was given against Everton, I'd be pissed off. So, yeah, it's just a weird one. But in my opinion, Arsenal were the better team. So they deserve 3 points. And they're starting to sort of find some sort of form for them, which is good for them. But I think those dropped points where they had a patch where they lost to Everton and lost to City, I think that's going to really come back to bite them in the arse coming out of the season.
Oh, absolutely. Chelsea, in the final game we'll cover for the round, hosted Hull in what was a one-sided affair. What was expected to be a one-sided affair, actually. Hull City had more shots on goal, but Chelsea prevailed 2-0. Diego Costa in the 45th minute scored before Gary Cahill in the 81st minute. Finished proceedings. Thoughts from JJ's Football Fix go out to Ryan Mason in the 21st minute. A head knock with Gary Cahill forced him to leave the pitch on a stretcher and go to hospital with what was reported to be a fractured skull and bleeding into the brain, which is a massive health concern for him. Fortunately, as I saw this morning, he has been released from hospital, so he is A-OK. Probably a fair bit of time before we see him back on the pitch for Hull City, but fantastic player, Ryan Mason. Great for Hull City, and we hope to see him on the pitch sooner rather than later, Jake. But Chelsea, they continued their surge at the top of the table with a 2-0 win against Hull. Like I said, though, Hull City looked all right, good for a bit of money here. Umanias came on the 59th minute and did wonders. He actually didn't play too badly, from what I heard. But, yeah, it was a win for Chelsea. And
Have you seen Chelsea's goal? Gary Cahill's goal?
No.
Oh, fucking hell. They put the ball in, and Cahill had basically a free header because Niasse decided to try and go under Cahill. He was marking Gary Cahill, and Niasse just fucking went under Gary Cahill. Gary Cahill, free header at the back post. But other than that, like, I know he's not exactly a defender, so you can't really blame him as such for that. But other than that, as far as I know, he didn't really do anything too bad apart from one shot that he took that nearly went out of Stamford Bridge.
Standard.
I don't want to sit here and slate him too much, because at the end of the day, he is contracted to Everton, but he is fucking trash.
So we slate him. Chelsea. That was an expected result, and they got it. We'll just go through the stats here for the Premier League. In the table, Chelsea sit atop with 55 points, Arsenal in second in 47 points, Tottenham in third on 46 points, Liverpool in fourth on 45 points, very tight at the top of the table. Man City continue that trend with 43 points in fifth position, Manchester United in sixth on 41 points, so pretty tight between second and sixth, it should be said. Everton sit a bit further back in 7th on 36 points. West Brom behind them in 8th on 32 points. Stoke City and West Ham make up top 10 on 28 points each. Southampton on 27 and 11th. Bournemouth, they sit back down in 12th in 26 points alongside Burnley, who were 13th. Watford, they continue their slide down on 24 points in 14th position. Leicester, 15th on 21 points. Middlesbrough, 16th on 20 points. Swansea sit just outside relegation zone, 17th on 18 points. Crystal Palace and Hull City have 16 points each in the relegation zone. Sunderland in last on with 15 points. And the four wins to their name this season, surprisingly, because they went a long time without winning a game. The Golden Boot tally thus far, Alexis Sanchez and Diego Costa both have 15 goals. For the season, Ibrahimovic a bit further back on 14. Harry Kane has 13. Defoe and Lukaku have 12. In the Dishmaster, Kevin De Bruyne has 9 assists. Eriksen and Matt Phillips have 8 each. Lallana and Sanchez have 7. Interestingly, the fair few players on 6. One of those players, Jake, is the outcast from earlier in the season at Chelsea. Cesc Fabregas has 6 assists for the season after not playing a lot at the start of the season. So
he's still not playing a lot right now, either.
Yeah, well, when he's playing, obviously he's doing something good, isn't he?
obviously.
It's controversial.
That's a very weird situation. He's not even playing. Like, it says here on my app that he's played 13 games and he's been subbed on for 8 of them.
Standard.
I just fucking sign him,
Everson. Imagine. Gee, that'd be great. We'll just cover quickly the FA Cup. The Premier League games FA Cup games involving Premier League teams. Derby County hosted Leicester City 2-2 draw. So that will go to a replay at Leicester, which you'd think they'd win. Darren Bent scored 9 goals before scoring one of his own for Derby. Craig Bryson scored a pretty decent goal. Not sure if you saw the highlights. Really good goal from Craig Bryson for Derby. Wes Morgan then saved Leicester with an 87th minute header. So they go through, or don't go through, so they get a replay against Derby County. Their miserable season continues, but it would be nice to see them progress to the fifth round and try to salvage something this season. Cannot be said for Liverpool, who were bowed out of the FA Cup at home to Wolves. Richard Stearman and Andreas Weimann, many will remember his time at Aston Villa in the Premier League a couple seasons ago when he was on absolute fruitcakes at the start of the season. I'm not sure what a fruitcake is. They were 2-0 up. Liverpool salvaged
a cake full of fruit.
Liverpool salvaged a slight comeback in the 86th minute with Divock Origi scoring. It wasn't enough. They bowed out of the cup 2-1 to Wolves, much to the delight of many fans around the world. Burnley continued their FA Cup run with a 2-0 win against Bristol City. Very comfortable. Should have been more. Vokes and Stephen Defoe, who was very impressive this match, scoring for Burnley. Bristol City never really stood a chance in that one. Who else we got here? We've got Middlesbrough. They beat Accrington Stanley. Pretty deserved win for them, but they only did it 1-0. Stuart Downing in the 69th minute, scoring the winning goal. Palace played against Manchester City at home. City won 3-0, which was expected. Sterling scored in the 43rd minute. Sane in the 71st minute. Yaya Toure capped it off in the 90th minute. Palace playing a pretty strong side from reports, or from what I remember. Relatively full strength, Palace, versus a Man City team that had the likes of Gabriel Jesus, who made his debut for Manchester City, highly touted 19-year-old from Brazil. He's got a massive season ahead of him. He's actually played a game in the Premier League already, I didn't realise. He scored 12 goals in the Serie A, the Brazilian Serie A, sorry, last season. So, as a 19-year-old, many tout him as the next Neymar, but we'll see what happens, Jake. I don't think he'll be that good, but if he is, then that's pretty bad, because he plays for Man City. Tottenham completed the great escape against Wickham Wanderers. They went 2-0 down in the 36th minute before Heung-Min Son and Vincent Janssen brought it back to 2-2. Gary Thompson for Wickham in the 84th minute brought it back for Wickham, but Dele Alli and Heung-Min Son scored within 3 minutes of each other in the 8 minutes of each other in the 89th and 97th minute to give Tottenham passage through to the fifth round of the cup. Chelsea beat Brentford 4-0. Stock standard stuff, really. Arsenal, they destroyed Southampton 5-0. Interesting results. Thought Southampton might have done a bit better there, but they didn't. Hull City were absolutely pole vaulted. Okay. By Fulham 4-1. Fulham, fantastic team. We are fans of Fulham, Jake. The other team that was in action from the Premier League, Manchester United, they beat Wigan 4-0 in a very stock standard match for them. Bastian Schweinsteiger, I think, made his return to Manchester United. I believe he scored a goal and assisted a goal, and that was that. That's all. That's all she wrote. Jake, I'm not too sure if we're going to do any jokes today. Probably not. But we will do the Fantasy Scout Report now, Jake. The Fantasy Scout Report! Yep, you're up.
Yeah, mate. Good point. My hot player this week is Dele Alli Jordan at 8.8. The English central midfielder has not scored under 6 fantasy points in his last 6 games. That is a pretty solid effort, and at just a measly 8.8, he's definitely a player that should be on a lot of people's radar. Jordan.
Yep, not on my team. Continue.
My cold player this week is Jamie Vardy. Somehow, still at 9.6. I've literally just written cold Jamie Vardy 9.6 /fraud because he has
fraud.
Put up, He has put up the worst backup season I've seen in a very long time. I'm sure he's still a very talented footballer, but I would be very, very surprised if he's anywhere near the England squad come the end of February. And my bargain this week, Jordan, is none other than the greatest central midfielder in world football, Thomas Davies.
Woo!
My
dog just shat herself. Yep, can you?
At 4.4, Davies has got a goal and an assist in his last two games. And at 4.4, realistically, that's not too bad. So if you want to take a stab at the best central midfielder in world football, then be my guest.
Yep, he's also got a few clean sheets as well, three in a row, I think. So I think he's scoring pretty well at the moment. He's in my starting team, Jake, on Fantasy Premier League, controversially, but he's there. Get around the man from Kazakhstan. All right. Let's kick on here.
I don't think he's from Kazakhstan.
Let's preview some games, Jake. Midweek fixtures this week, starting tomorrow morning in Australia. It'll probably be tonight for those in England listening. Can confirm we don't have any England listeners, so that's nice. I don't think anyone understands our accents here, Jake. Swansea Shitty, they host Southampton at the Liberty Stadium. Roger East is refereeing this one. Swansea in 17th, Southampton in 11th. Southampton tend to get the chockies against Swansea. Swansea yet to beat Southampton since February of 2015. I don't know, I think it's going to be a draw, Jake. I'm not too sure, to be honest. I'll see what happens, I guess. But I'm leaning towards a draw.
Yeah, it'll be a draw. Literally no idea what else to say. I think it'll be a draw.
Yeah, it's sexy. Sunderland host Tottenham in what's probably going to be a one-sided game, but Tottenham somewhat in iffy form now because of their draw with Man City, which isn't even a bad result, but they did have to go the distance against Wycombe Wanderers, I guess, a 4-3 win to them, but they made it as hard as they possibly could. But, you know, 3rd v 20th, you'd think Tottenham will get the win. Tottenham have won 10 of the previous 14 fixtures against Sunderland. Sunderland haven't beaten them in the league for a very long time. In fact, Sunderland have won one of their previous 14 games, and that came in a club friendly in 2013. So, interesting. Sunderland do get Lamine Kone back from the African Cup of Nations. Will he play? Won't he play? You don't know. Jolyon Lescott should make his debut, as could Brian Oviedo and Darren Gibson, who recently signed for him. I think they are able to play. I'm not too sure. But we'll see. I'm pretty sure Victor Onyeka is injured as well. So, yeah, doesn't look too good for them, to be honest. And they just lost Patrick Van Aanholt. Tottenham are going to fucking destroy him.
You'd think so. I'm not even going to go too much into this game. I think Tottenham will fuck them.
Middlesbrough hosts West Bromwich Albion. Could be an interesting game, this one. I think West Brom will win, but just. I think it's going to be a 1-0 win for West Brom. Middlesbrough will be without Callum Chambers. George Friend is likely to miss, as well as Gaston Ramirez is still out. Johnny Evans is sidelined, but apart from that, should be a full-strength West Brom team. Their earlier season result was a 0-0 draw at West Brom. But I think West Brom's form at the moment is too good. West Brom in 8th, Middlesbrough in 16th. West Brom for the win for me.
I think it's going to be a draw. I think Middlesbrough are going to try and go on a little bit of a push right now. And I think they'll just sneak a point. I think if it was at West Brom, then West Brom would get the win. But of course, it's at Middlesbrough, I think they will get a point.
The last time this game was played in the Premier League was back in September 2008, Jake, where West Brom got the 1-0 win. So a fair bit of time between these two. But Middlesbrough actually tend to be a little bit better than West Brom in regards to their recent history sort of form, I guess it should be said. But yeah, Burnley, they host Crystal Palace here at Turf Moor, Jake. Massive fixture. Absolutely huge. Probably the game of the round, isn't it? Leicester. Slimani has been ruled out with injury, even though he's... I think he might be back for the African Cup of Nations, but he is out with injury. Ujoa is also out, meaning Leicester's strike options are limited to Jamie Vardy and Jamie Vardy alone, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, we used a cold play this week. Look, Leicester, they're in bad form this season. Burnley, just above Leicester on the table, and I wouldn't be surprised to see Burnley get the win here, but they are yet to beat Leicester in the Premier League. And in my opinion, it's going to continue. I think it's going to be a draw, but I wouldn't be surprised if Burnley get the win here, Jake.
I think Burnley are going to get the win, Jordan. They're a very good team at home. They've taken it up to a fair few teams at home this season. I think Leicester are in a very weird situation right now, and that situation will keep on getting weirder.
Mm. Bournemouth host Crystal Palace in a 12th versus 18th match. Bournemouth, welcome back Simon Francis from suspension. Max Gradle will be assessed, having returned from the African Cup of Nations. Crystal Palace player Jeffrey Schlupp may miss out with a hamstring injury, but Patrick Van Aanholt could make his debut for Crystal Palace. History between these two sides does suggest a Bournemouth victory. Bournemouth actually drew away to Crystal Palace earlier in the season, but they did beat them last season away. This game at Bournemouth last season was a 0-0 draw. I think Bournemouth will win. I think they are in a bit of a tight tussle in form. I have been saying Palace are likely going to escape relegation, but I don't think they're going to beat Palace. I mean Bournemouth, and I'm expecting Bournemouth to win maybe 2-0, 2-1 maybe, not too sure.
Yeah, I'd hope Bournemouth to win as well. I think Bournemouth are a very good team, and it's a good chance for them to pick up 3 points, Jordan.
Mm. Arsenal host Watford in what's probably going to be a one-sided affair, second v 14th. Danny Welbeck could make his return to the team after a long-term knee injury, which would be fantastic for Arsenal. Very good, young, talented striker. Kieran Gibbs is available, as is Theo Walcott, who scored a hat-trick in the Cup midweek. He was under a bit of an injury cloud, but he should be fine. Granit Xhaka won't play due to suspension. Niang is in line to make his debut for Watford, but they'll be without Holobas, who is suspended. And apart from that, it's as expected, realistically. I'm fully expecting an Arsenal victory here, Jake. They've never lost to Watford in a league game, in the Premier League. And, yeah, I expect that to continue.
Yeah, so they should be getting 3 points here, especially if they want to keep pressure on Chelsea. And they definitely need to get the win here. So they should win like 2 or 3 to.
Liverpool. Speaking of Chelsea, host Chelsea in the league. Nathaniel Klein is a possible out for Liverpool. Adam Lallana is back in training. Sadio Mane is due back to play, which would be massive for Liverpool. But I don't expect him to start, having just returned from the African Cup of Nations. Chelsea have confirmed through Antonio Conte that they have a fully fit squad, which is fantastic. Their squad's amazing. History between these two sides. Both teams have 19 wins in the league and 11 draws. So this is going to be a very interesting game. Can go either way. The last fixtures between these two sides, Liverpool did beat Chelsea at Stamford Bridge back in September. 2-1 win then. But Liverpool have never been too bad away from home at Stamford Bridge. This one is at Anfield. The last result between these two sides at Anfield was 1-1 draw back in May of last year. Jake, I think it's going to be a draw, and we're going to leave it at that for me. No? You got an opinion? Jake's not keen to speak. Good on you, Jake. Well played, sir. West Ham.
I don't know what fucking happened.
Yeah. You're struggling, mate.
Mm.
You have a prediction for Liverpool versus Chelsea? Or?
Yeah, Chelsea win. I just sort of zoned down there. Chelsea are going to win 3-0.
Having a bit of a strike there, mate. West Ham hosts Manchester. I don't know why I've said that. West Ham hosts Manchester City at the Olympic Stadium. In a game which I think Man City is going to fucking destroy them. 5-0 the last time these two teams played back in the cup.
Probably similar.
A few weeks ago. Yeah, I'm hoping it's going to be similar. West Ham slight resurgence this season, I think, is going to come crashing down with a result for Manchester City here, Jake.
Yeah, City will win. I don't think it'll be similar to the FA Cup, though. I think it'll be like a 2-0 to City or something.
Yeah, I don't know. We can only hope. Manchester United hosts Hull City. Hull City have never beaten Manchester United in the league, likely to continue. Manchester United in different form. It's going to be, well, I mean, not in different form. They're unbeaten in the Premier League in 13 matches, but a few draws in the last couple of games doesn't bode well, considering they should have won those games. But alas,
I did fuck Wigan on the weekend in all fairness.
Yeah, Callum Connolly.
Sorry, it's gonna happen. Callum Connolly, this fucking guy.
I think United's gonna win.
Yeah.
Should anyway. Yeah, the final game we're gonna. Hey.
Connolly started against fucking.
Yeah. Player. The final game. Yeah. Stoke City host Everton. There's no new injuries for Stoke City. Sadio Berahino, will be in the squad. Should make his debut. Idrissa Gueye for Everton is back from the African Cup of Nations, but will not be playing in this game. Ronald Koeman confirmed. He's played 4 matches in 13 days. Fair enough, he gets a bit of a rest. Koeman has confirmed Robles will start in goal ahead of the fit again Martin Stekelenburg.
Thank fuck.
Everton will be looking to win both home and away against Stoke City in the same season for the first time since the 08-09 season. And will be aided, hopefully, by their recent clean sheet form, where they've kept 4 clean sheets in the last 5 Premier League games, Jake. Stoke City, up and down team this season. Always a danger game, though, any team against Stoke. Currently sit 9th, Everton at 7th. The head-to-head form over the history of the Premier League era does suggest Everton will get the chocolates. They've won 7 and drawn 5, as opposed to Stoke City's 5 wins. As we said, the 1-0 win against Stoke earlier in the season for Everton. The last time these two teams played at the Bet365 Stadium was a 3-0 result to Everton back in February of last year, which is a massive result. I didn't even remember us beating them 3-0. Lukaku, Coleman and Lennon all before halftime. standard. I'm going to go for a draw in that one, Jake.
You're a Stoke win.
Imagine. Fuck that. That's all. That's all she wrote. Here and there. Here and far and there and nowhere and stuff. I don't think there's anything else to cover. We've got a...
ready or not.
Transfer Deadline Day podcast coming your way in the next couple of days. We'll be discussing nothing but...
Yarmolenko.
Transfers. Yarmolenko. we'll be back then. Check out the A-League podcast from yesterday if you're keen. Follow us on Audio Boom. Like us on Facebook. We've passed 100 followers, which is always good. But Jake, until the next podcast.
Have a nice. I'm on top of the world, hey. I'm on top of the world.